Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as we just take a momentary break from Psalms this week, and we'll be coming back to that again next week. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning right there in verse number 1, if you'll follow along with me as I read. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite an introduction, isn't it? Don't you like the way we introduce a letter today? It's just, Dear John. That we just read was, Dear Church of Corinth. Quite expanded. Let's look at verse 4. Here's what Paul says. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Let's just say that again. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Those three words, God is faithful. Three words that spell comfort, confidence, and courage, I think, in a world where faithfulness is a missing virtue. We just don't see it in the world around us. Fearfulness is very easily found. And these words addressed to a church that was, they were passing through a period of extreme crisis. In chapter after chapter, all the way through 1 Corinthians, Paul had to deal with matters of faith that were seriously wrong in the church. But in spite of this, he could say, God is faithful. What a motto for us to take into the days, the weeks, the months of an unknown future in front of us. God is faithful. The faithfulness is a faithfulness that is related to God's character. There in verse 9. Character, folks, is the description of the traits or qualities of a person. Now, as applied to God, faithfulness is that which marks him in the history of human experience. Looking back through history, we could say God was faithful. God has been faithful. God is faithful. It is an attribute, not just an attribute, it's an activity of God which we can trust. God is faithful. Let's consider how it is an attribute of his character. Let's read verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, it is an attribute of God's character. God is absolutely reliable and firmly constant. Amen. He is unchanging. In Psalm 36:5, we read how extensive his faithfulness is. It says, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Psalm 119, verse 90, it says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Now, that sounds great, but do we understand what that means? God's faithfulness is not just for right here and now. It is faithful to all generations. Not just two to come, but all generations to come. His faithfulness never runs out. What does that mean for us today? Okay, that's great for my grandkids. Oh, I have one. It's great for my great, 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 great grandkids. But what does that mean for me today? That means this. I cannot outlive God's faithfulness. To understand this attribute is to discover the key to every other attribute of God. Whatever is revealed in Scripture about God, we can add, He is faithful. Let me show you what I mean. Another attribute of God, God's love. Unconditional love. He is faithful in showing us that love. God is a God of mercy. He's faithful in showing mercy. Grace. He is faithful in giving grace. His sovereignty, the fact that God is in control of everything. He is faithfully in control of everything. Do you see? His faithfulness, it's kind of the foundation of His attributes. His faithfulness is also not just part of His character, but it's an activity of His character. He isn't just is. He's not just faithful. He does faithful. There, I got that out right. It's not just something He is. It's something He does. Consider the activity of God's faithfulness or of God's character. Just consider God's faithfulness to His chosen people, Israel, as we see it recorded in the Old Testament for us. Throughout her generation, storms, calm, rebellion, repentance. We can't say anything else about that, but God is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. This is why we can't do anything else but trust Him. It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? A boy was crossing the ocean once with his father, and during the trip they ran into a storm. Everyone on the ship was afraid. It was getting tossed around up and down sideways, and the boy wasn't. One of the passengers asked him why he wasn't worried, and he says, "I have my eyes up on that window up there. My father is the captain of this ship." Folks, in like manner, we have a faithful captain who is the master of all winds and waves of life. When we think of God's character, we're reminded that faithfulness is both an attribute and an activity of His nature and His power. But not only is faithfulness related to God's character, but it's also related to God's call. Let me explain what I mean. Verse 9, it says, "By God is faithful, by whom ye were called." Because of His faithfulness, men and women are called to a quality of life that would otherwise not be possible without God's faithfulness. This is a life of forgiveness in Christ. We have that because God's faithful to forgive. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I love that verse, don't you? Now, I'm sure y'all don't have a problem with this, but every once in a while, I still mess up. And I'm so glad that God is still faithful. And every once in a while, I mess up in an area that I've already messed up in before. And God is faithful in this area of forgiveness. Folks, we as humans, we are sinners by birth. The Bible tells us that. Not just by birth, but we are sinners by choice. We actually choose to sin. Did you realize that? I know some of you didn't. Some of you have never chosen to sin because it is always someone else's fault, right? Oh, boy. But we're also sinners by practice. Let's just be honest. It is impossible for us to live in fellowship with God and our fellow men. Completely impossible for us to do that. And yet we're told in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is not to encourage us to sin, thinking, oh, okay, well, I'm going to be forgiven so I can go do what I want and just say I'm sorry later. Not that at all. But it is to enable us to not sin. Jesus, who shed His blood on the cross to pay for our sins, He was buried. He rose again from the grave. He now reigns in victory to save us by dwelling in us. But if and when we stumble and fall, because we will, Christ, in response to our genuine confession and repentance, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like that part of God's faithfulness. I need that part of God's faithfulness. But this is also a life of corrective protection in Christ. Did you know He's faithful in doing that? 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation. Wait a minute. Temptation there literally means, that Greek word literally means a trial or adversity. Okay? There hath no temptation, trial or adversity, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, amen, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation, the trial or adversity, also make a way to escape, that he may be able to, what do those last two words say? Bear it. Paul gives a word of caution, though, in the previous verse to this. Let me read verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Then verse 13 would follow that. Folks, we can sometimes become so sure in our acceptance in Christ. We're accepted by Christ. And we're so sure about that, that we can forget about our dependence on Christ. I mean, I'm saved. If my life ended in minutes from now, I'd be in heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I hope you do. I am accepted in Christ. No matter what, I'm going to be in heaven when I die. But let us not forget that while we're going to be in heaven one day, while we're here, we are dependent on Christ. You know what that means? We need Him. He also, we can sometimes be so sure of our acceptance that we do forget that dependence. But Christ also gives us a way of conquest. We need Him. We're in trials, in tribulations, in adversity. And He gives a way. How does He do that? He says it there. God is faithful. You know, we all like being on mountains, don't we? The mountaintops of life. Sometimes the valleys come. This past week, our missions team came back from Scotland. Man, it was a great trip. It was a great trip. I can't wait to share with you. And I know they're going to be sharing some things as well. Just to see just some little things that God did while we were there. And of course, it's always good to come home and see my wife and my two puppies. Okay, I missed them. And then Friday afternoon, about 12:20, I got a text from my daughter. Jet Jeremy Horner is dying to meet you. I'm like, I'm a grandpa. My wife had just left the house, and I'd called her because we were at the house for lunch because we had a showing that afternoon. And so I called her. I said, honey, pack your bags. You're going to Danville. And she was all excited. We packed, flurry of activity. We jumped in the car, two cars. I had her drive her car, and I had her go first so that I would go the speed limit, okay? And we get over there to, you know what, driving 55 on the interstate? That's ridiculous. What is the point of that? I mean, the speed limit does say 70. But when you get off of 48 onto the interstate, you can go faster, okay? But we got there. Before we got there, she had to pull off and use the restroom. Like, really? Come on. So everything's taken care of. We're walking back out to our cars. And she says, honey, did you text Helen, our realtor, and let her know that you're going to be a grandpa? Because she keeps asking about it. And I said, no, I didn't. She said, you should text her. And by the way, you know what? The only thing that would make this day even better is if we sold our house. So I sent her a text. Helen, we're grandparents on our way to Danville. The only thing that could make this day better is if we sold our house. 10 seconds later, she called me. Sold the house. I've got goosebumps thinking about it. That was so cool. You know, that was just awesome. And then we get to Danville and get up to my daughter's room. Her and her husband are up there in the bedroom and they've got the little guy there. And to say it was a joyful experience is an understatement. The only word that I can think of to describe that moment when you meet your first grandchild is overwhelmed. It's just so overwhelming. And we were just enjoying each other's company there for a time. Folks, we weren't just on the mountaintop. We were not even on the trees. We were on top of clouds, which were on top of the mountaintop. Okay? That's where we were right at that moment. And for about an hour or two, we're just enjoying things and talking back and forth. And then the crisis hit. And within 30 minutes, my daughter was being put into the back of an ambulance in critical condition. What do you do? Went from a mountaintop to a valley like that. Her husband went with her. My wife and I are there with this baby that's not even 7 hours old yet. We get to the hospital, and what do? Well, you pray, right? You folks were praying. Could have been worse. Could have been better. But whatever it was, I was confident of this thing. God planned it. God's faithful. And you guys prayed. And even though he didn't take it away as quickly as I wanted him to, here's what he did do. He held us up. Our feet never hit the floor of that valley. Which is good because we didn't even have the landing gear down. Okay, it happened so fast. But he upheld us because of your prayers. God was faithful. He didn't let us crash. And we went through that and came through on the other side. Folks, God knows just how much we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He knows how much we can bear, and he promises that he will not permit trial or adversity beyond that point that we can bear. He will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. Think of it. He always has a way of escape. How comforting to know, folks, that whenever we're trapped, whenever we're nosediving into the valley, or maybe stuck there for longer than we want to be there, Christ is always our way out. When we step away from Christ, I mean, if you could picture this in your mind, last Wednesday, my wife and I and Jet and Mark, my son-in-law and Alyssa, we're all right there in his hand. We were okay there. We didn't want to be there, but we were okay. And if any of us had stepped out away from Christ, we would have crashed. That's where we want to be. That's the way that God has prepared for us. He is faithful. He is faithful in that. This is the faithfulness of our God. It's also, though, a life of progressive perfection in Christ. God is faithful when it comes to that. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God is faithful in the business of perfecting you, of seeing to it that you will be perfected. He's going to be faithful about that. Paul is not speaking of faultlessness here. We shall never be faultless, folks. Although my grandson might be pretty close. We will never be faultless until we see God face to face. That's when we'll be perfect. And we receive our glorified bodies. But we can be blameless while we're here. Here's what I mean. In spirit, soul, and body, we are to be so sanctified, set apart, that the world can see that we have something supernaturally different about us. Is that what the world sees about your life right now? When they look at you, do they see something supernaturally different, or do you just blend in? God's word says he enables us to actually be that way. And he's faithful about it. So, folks, no matter what the trial, God enables us to endure it. We might pray that God would remove it. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. But it's part of his plan. So we ought to also pray that God would enable us to endure that trial as he uses it to perfect us. God never calls without enabling us. This is the nature and the power of his faithfulness. And lastly, God's faithfulness is a faithfulness that's related to God's fellowship as well. In verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. For our purposes, we're going to look at just two aspects of this fellowship. The first one is the fellowship of unity. John tells us that our fellowship is with the Father and his Son. And with that, we are inserted into the closest of friendships. Can you imagine the relationship between God and Jesus? How close that must be. I mean, it's a perfect relationship. There's not anything wrong about that relationship. No one has ever done something wrong to the other person. It's completely perfect. It is tight. And with this truth, we are inserted right into that relationship as God's children. That relationship of God with his Son. One of the main problems, folks, in the church of Corinth was disunity. They weren't together. And so at the very beginning of this letter, Paul reminds them that the God who is faithful has also called them into this unified fellowship relationship that God has with his Son. So this statement was actually a rebuke and a reassurance to this church. Think of that person right now that you just can't seem to get along with. Don't look, just think, okay? Think of that person, you just can't get along with them. They rub you the wrong way. They're irritating. Okay. It just may not even be a sinful thing. It may just be, you know, like personality differences. Just think of that person. Do you suppose that Christ has a problem getting along with that person? Please don't shake your head. Yes. You're thinking, you don't know who I'm thinking of here. You don't know that I'm not thinking of you right now, okay? But think about it. Do you think Christ has a problem getting along with that person? Do you think he's irritated by that person like you get irritated sometimes? Now, I want you to think about spending an eternity with that person. Carlton. 70 years of looking at the same person? Think of eternity, okay? With not just your spouse, but with the person that irritates you, that you don't like to spend time with. Hopefully it's two different people, okay? Spending an eternity with them in heaven. They may even be your next door neighbor. You don't know. But wait. When we're in heaven, something's going to happen. We will receive our glorified bodies. Do you know what that means? We'll be like Christ when we're in heaven. And so we won't be irritated with them in the same way that Christ isn't irritated with them now, because we'll be like Christ. But listen to this. That is possible on earth because of the faithfulness of God. We've been called into the fellowship of that relationship that God has with His Son right now. And God is faithful. He said, this is my plan. This is what makes it perfect now. This is how I'm trying to perfect you. When men and women dwell together in unity, the Holy Spirit comes upon His people, and it's like a precious ointment. It's like a perfume. Let me read this verse, Psalm 133, 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God is faithful in making that possible. And the other aspect of this fellowship is the fellowship of purity. All right? We are told that God is faithful. He has called us unto the fellowship, that relationship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:26 tells us that Christ is holy. He is blameless. He is harmless. He is undefiled and separate from sinners. No one can be united in fellowship with the Holy Son of God without experiencing the fellowship of His purity. The forgiveness of our sins. We need that. It is impossible to live a life of purity without Christ. Is it possible, though, for us to live a life of purity so that we might be in fellowship with Christ? Yes, it is. This verse tells us so. And it's because God is faithful. Now, Paul puts it perfectly when he says this. I have been crucified with Christ. Now, we know what that means, don't we? Crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, or faithfulness, of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Folks, we can't do this Christian thing without God. And because of His faithfulness, He makes it possible. May we live just like this. Let's bow our heads, please. God in heaven, Lord, thank You so much for Your faithfulness. As we consider our own lives here this morning, Lord, if there's someone here that has never experienced the faithfulness of Your forgiveness, Lord, they don't know that they would be in heaven one day. God, I pray today they would know that for sure. God, You are faithful. And we've looked at so many ways here this morning. Your desire is to perfect us. God, are we allowing You to? Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would work in our hearts here this morning. Whatever it is that we've just held on to and grown accustomed to, accepted, whether it's an issue in our life that needs to change, an issue with our tongue, an issue with relationships, lack of unity, whatever it is. God, I pray that today we would surrender that. We would experience the faithfulness of Your forgiveness by confessing that to You, allowing You to perfect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed.